Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning.
Buenos dias, Tom.
How are you doing, brother?
All right.
So today we have the famous Taco Rijo, Billy Lucas. How is it, man?
Sorry about
that's
all
the
my
crowd.
Fans
I
outside,
love it.
You know.
Well, we locked the door. We, you know, it's all right. It's a special day.
I wish they would just keep their tops on. We're already trying to do a serious.
We've already started this over once. I can't start over twice. Hey, so listen, I'm congratulations.
Thank you,
dude. You put in the work.
Yep.
I call you one of them. First, I call you an Instagram hustler back in the day. Your sign work, you know, creating.
They call me Billboard Billy.
Billboard. No, I can relate because. You know, and it's fun, you know, when you're starting in a business because you started this place. And I want to learn a little bit about your story. From what I gather, what I've seen, you kind of started off in the taco truck, right?
Yep.
And I used to love how you would do the sign and you would do some time lapse and some sped up stuff and just kind of creating that sort of foundation for that kind of character for that restaurant.
It's a good way to put it. Character. Yeah. I like that.
Well, but, you know, after this podcast, we will realize that you are full of character.
Well, I remains to be seen.
Remains to be heard.
Exactly.
But, you know, I followed you, and I have to admit, and I apologize, I never had a taco from the taco truck.
Boo.
Boo. I know. And listen, man, I grew up in, I made a joke of this yesterday with you and Ashley. You know, I grew up in Albuquerque. I am New Mexican, right? And she's like, you're what? And I go, I grew up in New Mexico. I never just go with it, Ashley. Jesus. But, you know, I love Mexican food. I love Southwestern style food.
Green or red?
You were talking chilies.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Ah.
So that's the blend, right?
Yeah, I know. Yep.
So we were just in, my wife and I just went back to Albuquerque the year before this, you know, pandemic hit. And went and flew in a hot air balloon and, you know, I introduced my wife. She had never been to New Mexico and introduced her to chili. And she does not eat chili. But, you know, I explained to her how the Christmas chili is a blend of the green and red. So you almost got me. I had a good answer.
When I remember when we used to tour and we go through the Southwest, like stopping in all those spots was like the best. You're just like, food, Mecca.
So would you do something like have, because I usually have 5 pounds of green Hatch green chili sent to my house every summer.
Yep.
Do you do that?
I have them in a can in my cupboard at all times.
Well, I'm going to, the next box I order, I'm bringing you some. You know what? I should have freaking brought you. I have some frozen green chilies. I'll bring them over to you.
Well,
and maybe you can introduce them into a bowl or two or whatever.
Yeah, I'll make
you
some enchiladas. Booyah. Yeah.
But, you know, maybe I'll get you some green chilies this year.
My favorite is when you're on the side of the road and they're like roasting them in the baskets and you just smell it.
The big giant metal spinning.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Why doesn't someone do that around here?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I moved here, so I want to hear your story, but I can just give you a quick thing. I was in Albuquerque, went to San Diego, and then moved here. And the first thing I thought about when I moved here is how come we don't have, you know, Juanita's, Alberto's, Alfonso's, all these great little taco shops that definitely was in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Not as much in New Mexico.
Goes away somewhere there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened in between them two, but San Diego was loaded with these great taco shops, you know, Carne Asada, Rolled Tacos, all the cool stuff that you could get. You know, it's like almost like what we would consider now like a hamburger a place to get crab cakes here. So we didn't have tacos, and I used to always say, we should have tacos here. And my dad used to be like, people like crab cakes, and they like fish and chips, and they like pizza. They don't like tacos. So here you come, and you are killing it, dude. I have to also admit, I just ate there the other day because it was too crowded, which is a good thing.
I hear that.
I thought they were going to open a new lane on Route 1 just for the cars backed up.
It was like that when we first opened, for sure. And I'm sure it'll be like that this summer. And my apologies to y'all, but we're working on all that. We're going to...
I'm not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Well, and I ate there, and dude, the food...
Ah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Fantastic. I had the fish tacos, I'm sure.
Number one seller.
Yeah, when we'll explore more stuff. But the fish tacos I had, they were fantastic. So share some of your story. I'm not going to take up this podcast. I want to listen to you.
A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was born. I don't know where you start with this. I don't know. What do you want to know?
How'd you get into the taco truck?
Okay. Good luck, bad luck. How far back in the timeline do we go? Let's go into, I was a roadie for a while.
Okay.
So I cooked for bands, and we traveled around the world. And one day I heard this, that there was this job. I was cooking away. I was working in a corporate setting. I was the corporate chef of the Gap Incorporated in San Francisco, California.
Nice.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to work my way up the corporate ladder, and I'm going to do everything this way. I'm going to get this 9-to-5 Monday to Friday job, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, I got fired from that job because I was they had a meeting on a Friday afternoon at like 4 o'clock. And I was like, what? Who has a meeting at 4 o'clock on a Friday? Like, I was getting ready to go to a festival with a buddy of mine. We're going to go listen to a bunch of bands. P-Funk, I believe, was at it. Anyway, we go. Anyway, come back Monday. Apparently, my attitude at the meeting wasn't. They weren't getting whatever they wanted out of me. Anyway, I got fired. And 2 hours later, I got a call from this dude I met in New Zealand. He's like, hey, mate, you want to go on the road? I'm like, what? And I had started this conversation a couple months earlier about as far as there's this job where you cook for people on the road. You travel with them, the band, and you're the tour caterer, and I was like, what? Okay. And next thing you know, I'm in a small cement room underneath the Nokia stage in L.A., and I'm getting ready to cook shrimp scampi for Don Henley of the Eagles.
Wow.
It's like,
that's cool.
Meow. Okay, this is all right. This is how this goes. The Dixie Chicks opened, and it was the opening first band to play at the Nokia. And then that kind of got me going.
Wow, that's awesome. So how do you go from, did you get fired again? Or how do you end up in a taco truck in the parking lot?
As a roadie, I was a roadie for 7 years. I never got fired. I was flown home once and asked to go on another tour another time, but never fired. They just move you around.
That's good. So any interesting bands?
I don't know, where do you go with interesting?
Well, I remember watching this documentary about Metallica, and I remember Lars Ulrich complaining about the food. So I'm just wondering if that is an awesome experience, or, you know, because I think as kids, you know, and you came in here and you got the Eddie Van Halen shirt on. I guess today is Eddie Van Halen Day. I didn't know that. Today, Eddie Van Halen was born.
Yeah, and we invented that at the shop in honor of our spirit human, Eddie.
Yeah,
so it doesn't actually exist, but hopefully after today it will exist forever.
No, I'm a big supporter of that. I'm a big fan of Eddie Van Halen and the band Van Halen. We had a little debate early on about David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, and I think we mutually agreed that they both played a great period of the band.
Yeah,
right?
It's two sides of the coin.
I'll never forget the day that they announced David Lee Roth was quitting. I don't know if they announced he quit or Sammy Hagar was now the new singer.
Good way. Yeah,
I don't know which happened first, but I remember, that's bad.
Yeah.
And I also remember, because their first album was 5150, and I remember, this is good.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I was confused during that time. I think I started to listen to, I don't know, maybe Motley Crue at that time.
Well, it's kind of like going from the burrito to dumping everything into a bowl. I mean, what the fuck? Who came up with that?
That is brilliant.
Yeah. And you're like, I just can't get over this. Dude, just putting everything in the bowl.
I've never eaten a bowl in my life.
Yeah, I have never.
I don't even understand it.
I've only eaten a bowl at a different restaurant because they didn't really offer it. I wasn't eating a burrito, right? So, but, you know, I'm a big fan, and I guess we won't figure out how you ended up in that truck, but I remember you in the truck, and I used to follow you on Instagram, still follow you.
Oh, we can get to the truck. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
It's like pulling teeth out of this guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's like 1,000 stories. Where do we go? So I was a roadie for 7 years, been there, done that, worked for everybody. You asked me earlier that quick Metallica story. Like, I never toured with Metallica, but I definitely did some gigs with them when they were in L.A. I was based in L.A. for a while, and we'd do any band that was in town. We'd kind of cook for – we had a contract with some of the local venues. And one of the things with Metallica was you had that – on their rider, every meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, you had to have a thing of bacon cooked hot, ready to go. So you can just open up the lid of the chafing dish, grab yourself whatever ration you need, and be on your way. And I thought that was one of the greatest things I've ever had to cook in my life.
Was it ever specific which artist demanded this? Because each band member, I'm sure, has their own demands, right? Because we've become so freaking entitled.
Well, they're not Motley Crue. They're not Kiss. I mean, Kiss was the worst. Gene Simmons, like, talk about prima donna.
Yeah.
So dinner's ready at 5 o'clock. No one could eat in the entire crew until Gene kind of came through the line and sort of gave his blessing, like everything is okay. You want to see everything untouched. And so sometimes 5:15, it's 5:20, where's Gene? You know, there's a show that has to go on. These guys have to eat. You know, that there's a whole thing that is going on. And like, it's eventually that got, you know, like, look, someone talked to Gene. It's like, you can't be that guy right now. Like, you're holding up the whole show. So that's one sort of extreme of where, but for the most part, most rock stars are the coolest, dopest, awesome people you've ever met. Like,
yeah,
like, I'm going to like blow you away right here. Michael Bublé, the man. I did 4 tours with him, and he is the coolest rock star I've ever met.
Nice guy.
Dude, nice guy, cool dude, play ping pong. He was the guy that was at catering at 5 o'clock, ready to eat, first in line. Like, let's go. Like, this food's great. This is awesome. Sits in the dining room, talks to anybody. I just can't say enough cool.
Well, it's really why I never became a rock star. Because I'd probably been like Gene Simmons. I'm walking through. No, I just didn't have the talent. I think that might have been the issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what I would be doing.
So, and it is funny, and you know, that's what I've, you know, because I've never met you, and I apologize for that. When I took my son to eat at the restaurant the other day, I approached some guy wearing a headband because for some reason, I don't know if it was a hat or a headband. I go, "Are you Billy?" He goes, "No, Billy left." And I go, "Okay." So I wanted to introduce myself, but it's great to have you on because I love to hear these stories because I knew, you know, when I was in the restaurant and if someone has been in or is getting ready to try Taco Rio, one thing you realize is you turned the old Burger King into a goddamn Marshall amp.
Yes, we did.
And that's awesome. I mean, the grate, the knobs. I mean, it's like,
it goes
dude,
to 11.
You were like, you know, you and I could have been best friends going. I mean, I feel like this is going to be the beginning of a great friendship. But I think you and I think a lot alike. You got a Van Halen shirt. I bled Eddie Van Halen. You know, I cried harder for Eddie than when my own grandmother passed.
Oh, man, that was a tough day.
That was a tough day. And then my mom actually passed not too long after that. So
sorry to hear that.
But, I'll never forget my mom waiting in line in Coronado Mall for our, you know, it was the most important thing for her to get those 1984 tour tickets. And that's the kind of mom she was. And it was because of my love for Eddie Van Halen. And so you and I have a lot in common. So it's great to hear this story to tie in why the old Burger King now looks like a Marshall stack that's parked on Route 1.
And if you notice, when you walk into the foyer, it's all a tribute to Eddie. It's in the red, white, and black as Frankenstein guitar motif.
Yeah.
So that when you come in there, you're immediately greeted by Eddie.
Well, and that's what's... And I feel like restaurants really don't do this that much anymore, or if they've ever done it. But it's like kind of walking into that place and you're like, you know, you have food, and then you have like this kind of interesting atmosphere where you're kind of looking around, looking at people's reaction. You know, you got a great staff. Everybody seems to be very passionate about working there. You know, at this point, at least, happy, right? And, you know, it's fun and, you know, just the details, right? I had gone around. I'm not a drinker, but I went around to the bar because I wanted to talk to the bartender about, I had a question about something. And, you know, there's all this great detail up on the walls, up at the top above the bar. It's just a great job. You did a nice job in there.
Thank you.
And the food fucking is awesome.
Well, you can't, I mean, they gotta both gotta work together. Well, you can't have one without the other.
You can't well, I guess have you great could, food.
But what's the point?
Yeah, you can't have great food in kind of an ugly restaurant, but you can't have awesome restaurant and terrible food.
Yeah, that would.
But you've got both. So how do you commit? Because I would be like, oh, I don't know. It's just too much. How much money am I spending? I mean, I would be very concerned. You seem like you just went into it and just dedicated.
It's sort of, you ever see the Blues Brothers? It's kind of like I'm on a mission from God.
Nice.
How you just said that, I've never even thought of it in that sort of terms. It's just a thing that I've just had to get out of me. This needs to happen. I've always wanted to sort of own a, oddly enough, a fast food restaurant sort of
dedicated
enterprise. Yeah, dedicated to Van Halen. Yeah. it's just, you know, it's like sort of my growing up with eating McDonald's and going to my first Hard Rock Cafe. And it's sort of a mashup between those two things. Because I went to the Hard Rock and I was like, look at my parents. I'm like, the music's really loud in here. It's kind of cool. And there's like, you know, there's memorabilia everywhere. And there's like cute waitresses. And like, you know, everyone's sassy. I was like, what is this? This is amazing. And this is sort of a birth of all that. And just my love of music and being around. And, you know, today, like, I woke up and whatever I was, playlist it was, or I just turned on my radio. I just hit play and it was I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett. And I was today's going to be a good day.
So in the early, I kind of felt like you were almost influenced a little bit like AC/DC.
That's definitely like sort of the font of the restaurant. Right. And of course, I mean, AC/DC is
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I remember being a kid and seeing for some reason, I don't know why this was, but I saw the movie Let There Be Rock at a movie theater when I was like 9. Uh-huh. And it's basically an AC/DC concert. And I'll never forget just watching Angus Young going, oh my God. And then from that point on, Angus Young is my favorite guitarist ever.
Nice.
I mean, he's just awesome. And still, you know, watching YouTube videos of him going down that catwalk down the middle of 100,000 people in Donington Castle Arena. I don't know what that place is. It's just,
it's like the one move like of air guitar I have that I can do. And like if I show you like that move, like you'll know that's him.
Well, it's all on the knees.
Well, that and it's the grip.
Yeah.
And it's the one handed hop, which he got from Chuck Berry. And it's just, and you know, the uniform, it's everything.
Well, there's some great videos of old AC/DC with Bon Scott and like in 1970, I don't even know the year, but they're, you know, there's just like this guy, it looks like he has a camera and he's sitting on an amp and he's kind of filming. It's like almost in a bull ring as Angus Young just fucking goes by, dun, you know, doing his move. You know, it's almost like the music gets going and he just winds up and off he goes.
Yep.
So to find out that it's really, you know, your love for Eddie Van Halen makes this even better.
And speaking of live guitarist performing, Eddie, when he would play, would launch off, you know, the risers, run on his speakers somehow, defying gravity.
Kick off of it.
Yeah, like how was he doing all that, you know, while doing everything else?
I think he actually had to get hip replacement.
Because of
all the jumping and leaping off the stage risers and jumping off the stacks, he actually ended up getting a hip replacement from that.
Well deserved.
Don't do that, kids.
Well deserved.
So, favorite thing to make? What's your? I guess you love tacos. You know, dragons love tacos. Have you read that book?
No.
Do you have kids?
I do not.
Well, if you had them, you would be like.
Not that I know of.
There's a great book called Dragons of Tacos.
Oh, okay. Like I'll check it out.
Things. Yeah, and if they eat something spicy, they blow flames. And
oh, cool. Well,
they destroy everything around if they eat
something
spicy. Awesome.
I got to read that.
It's a great book. My kids love that book. And my kids love tacos. I mean, tacos are the shit.
They're universal. Yeah. Like if.
Thank you for bringing tacos, finally, to Fruits of Rehoboth.
You're welcome. I mean. Like, just so you know, like, the whole reason Taco Rio is here is I grew up in this area, And then I moved, and I was gone for 20 years, and I came back. And in that those travels, I learned what a taco was and a burrito. I was fortunate to live on the West Coast, where that's sort of an ubiquitous cuisine. And I was like, every time I come home, I'm like, man, I can't get this here anymore. Where can you get this? You can't. And so one of the missions of Taco Rio is to bring the best taco that I can sort of conjure up to LSD, Lower Slower Delaware.
Like drugs. Uh-oh. Well, so, you know, let's talk about the taco because it has evolved, right? You know, I remember as a kid, yeah. My buddy John and I, we'd ride our bikes over to Puppin' Taco. And it was like the first Taco Bell. I think Taco Bell came in and basically muscled all their businesses away from them and turned them all into Taco Bells. But they had that original kind of stucco-looking little building, little yep. taco hut. And, you know, it was a, you know, fried corn tortilla folded with meat and lettuce and cheese. Go out to San Diego, and they don't do that. It's a more of a corn tortilla, quick flash fried almost, not hard, more soft. Yeah, yeah, it's like a soft tortilla, but not a soft taco, right? It's not a white flour. It's a corn tortilla, mm-hmm. soft. And I was like, what is this? You know, something's wrong here. But I think that's more traditional, and I think that that's the first time I ate at your restaurant, because I've eaten twice, I had... I just got three tacos, a fish, a pork, and a beef. And right next to me, to my right, looking through the window, is somebody in there making tacos, taco shells.
Fresh tortillas.
Yeah. So you do go on a little bit of the less hard, more soft a little bit.
Where do we go with this? Because it's going to be a big answer. So what we're doing is we're nixtamalizing our corn.
Okay. Nixtamalizing.
Yes, that's taking corn, fresh corn. So our tacos don't come out of a bag. Well, they do. A bag from Mexico, and they're whole heirloom organic corn kernels.
Okay.
From Oaxaca is the region we're getting most of our corn from right now. We bring this corn up. We import it, 55-pound bag. Then we dump it in a huge vat.
So would this be like pozole kind of corn?
It's a type of pozole is a larger kernel.
Large kernel.
Yeah. So there's thousands of varieties of corn that do various different things.
I guess because we don't make it here in the United States. Only corn we seem to make here is for fuel.
Yes. And yeah. Feed. Well, yeah. And well, here in Delaware, we got our sweet corn. You know, our silver queen. You know that, but which it's delicious. A different. It's not that. That's right. A small very kernel small. Compared to what we're doing. And actually, even with that said. There's all different sorts of corn kernels used for tortilla making. But right now we're kind of messing around with like three different varieties. We're kind of narrowing it down to kind of – I've only been doing this 3 months, so I'm still trying to learn some things. But
and it was delicious, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't mess around. It should taste like the corniest tortilla you've ever had because it's literally just corn. There's no right. additives. There's nothing to it. So we cook the corn in some lime. We bring it to a boil, and then we let it sit for 12 hours. Then we drain it. Then we rinse it. Then we mill it, and then we throw – and we're still not making tortillas yet. And then we get to this – we have a tortilla machine, which we sourced out in L.A. We affectionately call her Myra. And this machine can turn out 1,000 tortillas an hour. And you put the masa, which is after you've fussed with the corn, it becomes this pliable like dough. And then you put it in the machine, and it prints out these 5-inch perfect circles – and it goes through the oven, and they come out perfectly cooked.
Wow.
And it is just like – now, before this, the last 7 years, so we've been doing that by hand.
You're not – oh, I was going to say –
we have been doing that.
Oh, I was going to say, because I thought someone was doing it by hand.
Right. And we weren't doing the whole process of nixtamalizing the corn. We're using a product called Maseca, which is kind of like – it's already corn that's been processed, milled, and you just add water to it, and then it's ready to go, kind of like instant pancake mix. But what we've done with now is we've taken it to the most extreme, ludicrous speed step of doing it as authentic from scratch as we possibly can.
So are you going to start selling these individually in bags?
Well, I don't know. We'll
isn't
see.
Isn't that the routine?
That would be awesome if we could get to that point. But we're still like in this like learning, and it's It's a pain in the ass, to be honest with you. And yeah. We're not to that point yet.
Well, everything that's great is a pain in the ass. Yeah. I mean, that's the point, right?
I know what the biggest pain in the ass, and I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to say it, is the people that come in, they're like, we like your old tortillas better. I'm just like, poof. Yeah. It's like, oh, thanks.
Right.
But whatever. It's
love you anyway. Yeah. Well, listen, it's tough, you know, and I, you know, it's funny. I was watching something the other day, and I, you know, I'm a big fan of fish and chips. I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I love GoBrett.
Yeah, GoBrett. Hey, GoBrett. But I was watching this guy cook it, making it, you know, it was his original recipe of fish and chips. And he used, instead of water, he used vodka.
Yeah.
Is that something?
That's
the thing. Is that one of those things I'm going to say, and everybody's going to be like, duh, you didn't know that?
Yeah,
and
it's one of those cooking hacks.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And it was like, I mean, it was the crispiest, fluffiest looking.
So there's like less water because you're using vodka. So it doesn't, when it's cooking, the water doesn't come out of it, which can screw up your crispiness. So it's just kind of like straight liquid, but without the excessive moisture.
Yeah.
So it's just more bang for your buck.
Do you use vodka in your beer?
And not in my beer batter, but in my screwdriver.
Do you use vodka in your vodka batter? No, and not that it matters, but do you? Because I guess getting to the point is, I had the fish taco, and that bitch was crispy and light and delicious.
Yeah, we don't use vodka. We use beer, okay. Yingling, and we just have a pretty solid recipe. And
so I think this guy actually used vodka and beer.
Interesting.
Yes.
I think this guy had other issues.
And a shot. And some fireball. And he used honey. Actually, a little bit of honey in there, okay, for the color, he said.
All right. Well,
but anyway, it was interesting. That's a whole lot of story to tell you. The fish over there at Taco Rio is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's crispy as hell. And we have a really cool, some machinery, state-of-the-art, that holds the fish. Well, after we cook it, it keeps it crispy. Mm. And that's sort of like part of the whole key to it. It's nobody wants a soggy fish stick.
So when you opened up the place and people were backed up down the highway, were you like, oh, shit?
No, I did that for the year opening before that. I was doing that.
Well,
once the doors are open, it's like, you know, the show must go on.
Dude, and that's kind of there's got to be a great story in that, because you basically, it looked like, signed a lease and then a pandemic started.
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
I mean, how do you kind of? I know you just one day at a time. You just work through. Well,
I never really fretted about that. If you have a good product, people are going to come get it.
Sure.
Simple as that.
Right. I guess because I have, you know, I have a hair salon, and it's not that I don't think our product is great. I just was concerned that everybody was just going to have to stay home, like we weren't going to be able to leave. So, I know, you know. Listen, it's hindsight now. You know, 2 years later, and I'm like, eh.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what, that part of that helped in the design of the building was the pandemic had start, and then we went into designs, but we blew off the front of it and we put in these huge, big front and open area, but with three garage doors in the front. The whole reason behind this is so we can open up the doors and it's an open air restaurant.
Okay.
When the weather is nice.
Right.
And that is when it's the best. Like when you come in spring, or we had a late winter or whatever it was, but when all those doors are open and the whole restaurant is blowing with a cool breeze and you can just kind of mingle, it is just a whole other experience.
When did you open?
November 1st.
So we haven't really had a spring.
We haven't, but we've had, like, summer lasted forever, it felt like.
Right. I mean, you've experienced it. You've had the doors open there. Yeah. But
it's the bomb.
We haven't, yeah. So that'll be great. So when spring comes, because I have heard we're supposed to get 17 feet of snow this weekend, but spring is coming early. Yeah. I saw someone posted, I think we're getting, like, 25 inches.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of stories. I was like, I'm like, what? Huh? Okay, cool, whatever.
Well, I love it.
I love winter.
I love what you guys are doing over there. Congratulations to you.
You're
in, you know, have you had to kind of expand your menu to try, you know, I don't know what the menu was like over at the truck, but, you know, now we got a wide range of palates, right?
Right.
How do you handle that?
Well, here's a bowl. Oh, wow, you got everything.
Taco Bell just rolled over in his grave.
Well, we were talking about that before we came on the burrito bowl debate.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't shoot myself in the foot, probably. But yeah, we have added a bunch of things.
I mean, I like bowls. I'm just saying it was like, you know.
Filled with green stuff.
Yeah, right.
So churros are on the menu.
Those are the cinnamon kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are delicious.
Like choux pastry, but we have ours filled with apple.
Oh.
And we cover them with caramel sauce, and they're awesome. We've got taquitos, which are rolled tacos and fried.
Dude, I'm a
and then topped with everything.
When I was out in San Diego, you used to get rolled tacos, right? I don't know whether it became taquitos, but get me some rolled tacos, and it would be like five. And they'd hit it with this huge blob of sour cream.
Yep.
Hit it with a huge blob of guacamole.
That's it.
Hit it with some Fresca cheese, wrap it up in paper, and send it on its way. Like, what? What do I got?
Cheese.
You're pulling things out. You're like poking into it. Is there anything left? Just delicious. I'm a big fan of the roll taco.
Me too. That's why we put them on there.
Are they a big seller?
Oh, yeah.
So how does that come?
There are 3-2-1 order. Okay. They come like a little pyramid. And we just do exactly what you said. We just
hit them.
Basically, like, we try to leave the ends open so you can put your finger on there and jam it in your mouth. If you want to share, good luck.
Roll taco. Taco on the go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all... Well, yeah. I guess that would be the easiest of the things. We also have quesadillas. We call them dillas. We have our carne fries.
Had them.
Which are just, you know, huge seller. If you've ever been to Southern California, that's a thing out here. Everywhere else, you don't, they just don't exist for whatever reason. I guess we do nachos, what else we got? Oh, one of my favorite things I love to talk to people, but people forget, we carry Main Root Sodas, which is a boutique soda company in this country, owned by this gentleman named Mark Seiler, who happened to grow up in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, ironically. And his mom, Mimi, still lives here. She's a huge follow. She's like a super fan on our Insta. I wanted to...
Can you be a super fan?
Oh, yeah. You get a little crown thing or something like that. It's funny.
I want to be a super fan.
Yeah. So there's Coke and there's Pepsi, right?
Right.
And we've all had that and done that. I was like, meh. And whatever, my travels, I had a Main Root Soda once. I was like, whoa, that was really good. Like, what's different about this? And we used to serve Mexican Coke on the truck, and it's a sort of really unique sort of flavor profile for Coke. It comes in a glass bottle. It's from Mexico, la la la, made with pure cane sugar. But Main Root, all their stuff's pure cane sugar, organic, vegan, fair trade with the sugar. And they have all these really unique flavors, blueberry, mandarin. They do diet Mexican Coke. And I was just like, wow, man. I wonder if I could get this. And it turns out.
You can.
You can. We're the only place in a 100-mile radius that you can get it. I mean, you can get it in a bottle down here, but we have it on the fountain. So I called the company one day, like, how do I do this? You know, I just like hit the number or whatever. And I go straight to the president, Mark Seiler. Like, what company do you talk to the president when you call cold call? And I'm like, we start talking. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm in Rehoboth Beach. He's like, what? Rehoboth Beach? Like, I grew up, like, and he's like, do you know this person? And the person he was mentioned was sitting right across, like, the office from me, Kathy McDonald. Like, yeah, I used to party with her. She's awesome. I'm like, what?
Kathy.
This is awesome. So anyway, la, la, la. Long story short, we have a Main Root. It's delicious. And you can come and, you know, we have a little bar and you can... We like to spike the drink if you want. We've got rum.
Rum and root.
Tequila, rum and root. Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Dude, that would be all over the root.
Yeah, let's do it.
That sounds good.
And they make the best root beer, which was Main Root root beer. That's kind of like their flagship flavor. And, it's just so good. If you like root beer, just come in and have that.
Well, I hate to say it. I don't drink soda. I might start, though. It sounds really – and I don't know why I don't.
You don't drink soda. How do you go through your day? What's going on?
Well, I got up at 5 this morning and went for a 5-mile run. It's freezing cold.
That's awesome.
There's some energy in there.
Yeah. I just started exercising last week, and it was like the coldest day. It was like 20 degrees. I'm like, Billy, you know what?
Come run with us, Billy.
Let's do it. Let's go, bro. Come on.
There is nothing like running down the trail in the pitch black with a headlamp. And the only reason I don't drink is because I'm not good at it. I quit drinking for your safety and everybody else's, but, you know, it's just... No, you know, it's, you know, you get, I start getting old, man.
Yeah.
You know, you
gotta,
you know, I mean, you're a little younger than me, and, you know, one day you'll get older and you'll be like, you know, I gotta preserve this vehicle. I don't wanna be a burden, especially, you know, I do have kids and I definitely don't wanna be a burden on them. So I try to, you know, I try to hydrate.
Yeah.
I'll have a soda every once in a while. It isn't for any other reason other than I just don't have a taste for it anymore. I really enjoy water.
Water.
Water is very good.
It is, but I wish I could have that passion that you have for water. Like, I'm like, water.
It's, you know,
like,
what you should do? And this is how I ended up, and not like you're asking them, it's not special advice, but I bought a Yeti.
Uh-huh.
And like a big Yeti tumbler.
Yep.
You know, not the ridiculous one, just a regular Yeti tumbler. Pack it with great ice and fill it with great water and just carry it around all day and you just crave it now. It's funny. Okay. My wife really got me into that. I wasn't a big water drinker. But yeah,
I even have an app on my, or used to, I don't use it anymore, but it was like a water app and it was like every, like whatever time it like drink some water.
Well, and if you, and you know, you mentioned it, if you start, if you're starting to exercise and that usually means that you're starting to think about, you know, your body, you'll start exercising and you'll start, your body will ask you more water.
Yeah. It's like, it craves it.
Yeah.
You're
so
like, ooh, need this.
Right. So you'll find your own way. I'm not here to. In a water podcast.
Speaking of water, we also have agua frescas on our menu.
What's that?
So that's a, you take fruit, you mash it up, you add some water, a little bit of sugar, and it's called agua fresca. So it's like this light, refreshing, fruity drink. We have currently have mango as our flavor, but they come in all sorts of hibiscus to watermelon, strawberry, like any, pretty much anything. But it's just, especially on a hot summer day, you just want something refreshing.
That sounds delicious. Oh, it's fresh.
It's young.
Vibrant. Earthy.
Colorful.
I've been watching a lot of Gordon Ramsay lately. Explain your dish, chef. Explain your dish. It's earthy. It's fresh. It's bright. And so so I wanted to ask you, you know, the taco is almost like this canvas for, you know, almost putting anything in it. My buddy Matt, I don't know if you knew Matt Haley, but, you know, he used to love going down to Mexico and walking the streets and, you know, the back alleys and the Mexican street carts. And and he came back to Delaware and opened his Mexican restaurant. And one of the first things he started selling was tripe tacos, which is, you know,
guts. Stomach.
Stomach. And it was nasty. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's like what they serve in the streets, you know, with the street people. And I don't know how much of a success the tripe tacos were, but how much do you get pulled in to trying to reinvent an amazing product.
Man.
Because I don't know. I only adventured with the fish, the beef, and the pork.
Yeah, well, you got a couple more to go. The buffalo shrimp. That's sort of speaking to the topic of, like, how do you reinvent? That's one of those ones that we did. I was down in Tijuana eating at one of these cool sort of off the beaten
Iguanas.
Path place, and this taquero was making he had little octopuses on the grill.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, that looks good. He's like, hey man, you want to try this? I'm like, okay. So I sit down and he brings me over a couple octopus tacos, but they're not just any octopus tacos. So he took cheese and he put it on the plancha, which is like a griddle, and he burnt the cheese. And then he chopped up this octopus, and he put the octopus in the cheese. And then he rolled it up.
In the burnt cheese.
Oh, and it was like this rectangle thing in the tortilla. And I think that was it. I'm like, what the hell is this? I'm like, you can put stuff inside of burnt cheese and then put it on a tortilla, and it's a taco. Like, that's legal? Like, that's a thing? Like, what?
Serving burnt cheese should be illegal, right? Because it's so delicious.
So, you know, I put a little salsa on this thing, and they had the coolest salsa thing ever. And my mind was literally blown that first bite. I was just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So with that, I came back, and whenever I was creating my menu, everyone loves buffalo everything around here. We're addicted to that sauce down here. And I was like, wow, how do we... So I grilled some shrimp up, rolled it in the cheese, throw on some salsa Franks.
Oh, shit.
And then we put it over some green cabbage, a little bit of crema, some avocado, top it with a little pickled red onion. The acidity balances the saltiness. And then, bam, this taco, the buffalo shrimp, was born. And, people crave it. They're like, dude, you have buffalo shrimp on your tip. You have buffalo shrimp. They're afraid that it's going to go away somewhere. And I'm just like...
Fanatic.
Yeah.
I have to try that. That sounds amazing. I was thinking about that, and when I was thinking, I wonder if you can make, because my kids are big fans of the quesadilla, and I take, I put some butter right in a pan, and I throw the tortilla right in. I put the cheese in the middle of the tortilla and fold it over, flip it a couple times, cut it a couple times, and we're in Mexico. But I'm thinking just now, I'm like, I wonder if you just threw a pile of cheese on the griddle, melted it, and then just threw the tortilla on top. I got into this thing where I started taking cheese and melting it in a pan and then taking the roll and then putting it on the melted cheese and then picking it up. And all the melted cheese is stuck to the roll.
Yeah.
And then putting meat in and then serving it to my son like some sort of chef. I wonder if you could do that with the quesadilla. Could we take the quesadilla to the next level, Billy?
I hate to tell you, it's done.
That's happening.
It's happening.
There is a pre-melt.
There is Instagram pages all about it, everywhere. Yeah, they take whole burritos now, like they make the burrito and then they put a boatload of cheese on the griddle and then roll the whole thing up.
Cheese. That's too far.
Yeah, or if you want to go Atkins, skip the tortilla or the shell. They just do burnt cheese and then that's like the tortilla.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. That's a little bit much for my
I might have to pause the recording right now. Just to compute that, because that is another level of amazing. How do you hold that?
It hardens up. Yeah, you might have some greasy fingers, but if you're eating any sort of proper taco, your fingers are going to be a little.
How much do you worry, Billy, about starting a company in a restaurant in your favorite food and not potentially burning out and turning your back on the taco?
Well, that's what quesadillas are for.
That's what the bowl's for.
That's what the burrito's for.
I got
options, man.
Well, I love tacos. Me too. I appreciate that you... So will we be opening another Taco Rijo?
Yeah, man. We're looking to open a bunch of these bad boys. Obviously, I don't want to get too much into it, But yeah,
it's like Aaron Rodgers talking about his future contract with Green Bay. This is like, we got Billy. We're going to pin him down right now. Where's the location, Billy?
But we're definitely looking.
We're going to change every Burger King over.
That's the inside joke we have. Like, if you're, there's Burger King, it's out of business. Let's move on.
What happened to Burger King, by the way?
They just didn't renew the lease. That's the story I got. So,
well, don't take the path that Burger King did, man. Don't become so corporate that you lose, that all of a sudden.
Have you met me? Do you see that happening?
No. I don't. But actually, you know what? You seem like a perfectly normal person. Absolutely. Why not? Yeah. I don't think that that's done out of spite. I think that's just the natural progression of things. We, you kind of shared the story. We used to make them by hand. Then we got a machine. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, we're selling them. We're creating a little revenue from that. And then T-shirts with the press on it. And it's just a natural progression, I think, of us and business.
It's branding. That's like the word of the, there you are for the brand, as Tom's wearing on his chest there.
Well, that's for Pat Mac. If he show.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I love it.
And I love my brand. And I love that down here we love like people's brands, especially local brands. Like it's sort of a thing down here, like to support, po' boys up the street, like Mike Clampett, shout out. Like I love that guy.
What's up, Mike?
To Mid-South Audio, Smoking D's up the street. I mean, we can go on and on.
Some girls.
We just love it down here, and I love the fact that Taco Rijo is being embraced by the community, and we're able to offer this cool, unique product that you can only get there. We're not trying to copy anybody. We're just trying to do us.
No, and the next question I had is, how awesome is it that you have the ability, because you couldn't really do Taco Rijo like in this spot, right? Because you are now an amplifier on Route 1. I mean, you
literally
did that just kind of fall into your hands and you said, shit, we should like turn that place into like an amplifier, you know, because you can't, you know, like if you look at Mitchie's, love Mitchie's, amazing restaurant, but Mitchie's is not known for their building. Mitchie's is known for, you know, all the great stuff that goes inside. You're known for your building, all this great stuff that goes inside, and, you know, all your sign work.
It's, I mean, it's just the package, man. It's perfect.
Could, is it, could have happened any other, in a, any better way?
I don't think so.
Did you always plan to turn a building into an amp, or did you get a, did someone say, hey, Burger King's for rent? You're like, hey, we could probably turn that place like into an amp.
Well, if you ever saw the food truck, it is an amp.
Okay.
It's three Marshall stacks across the front, and they have we use the Marshall writing, and we have like our little sayings in there. And there's a on the end of the truck, there's a upside down BC Rich Warlock guitar, which is a one of those old 80s metal things that you don't see any too much around. Like, I actually think they're starting to come back a little bit.
I think Mick Mars played a Warlock. I think okay. The guy from Wasp.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like mid-80s, it was the thing. Still cool as hell, if you ask me.
Wasp.
I remember I learned what that was about. I was like, oh, wait a second.
I'm not sure I learned what it's about. What is it about, Billy?
Or what Wasp stands for.
Oh, I'm sure we probably shouldn't talk
about that. Yeah, this is a PG show.
This is a PG show. Well, and you know, that's what, you know, you mentioned a lot of restaurants, and, you know, that's what this podcast is about. You know, I can't. You know, my buddy Matt was like big in the restaurant business. Oh, you know, hundreds of stories from people that were, you know, if they ever were in a, had a problem or needed help, Matt was always available. And I can't do that. You know, I'm not in the restaurant business, but you know, I can start a podcast and try to shine a little light on small business. You know, we're two doors down from my small business, so I'm, you know, I cut hair, you make tacos, but in the end, we got to show up, right? And it's all on our shoulders. And you know, I had a lot of respect for you when I walked into that restaurant, and I'm like, I've only seen you on Instagram, but I look at what you've done here, and I'm like, you know, hats off, this is great, and you've covered it in all corners. The restaurant looks great. It looks great inside. You know, you put a good face on the place, and then the food is number one. It's delicious, and very excited to have
you're forgetting
it.
One thing. The music.
Oh, was there music on? I didn't hear the music.
Yeah. If it wasn't on, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to talk to our manager right now.
I love music.
we love to turn it up to 11. That's like one of our little catch Spinal Tap sayings. And I love like new employees. Like when I mentioned that, like, do you know where that comes from? I'm like, no. I'm like, have you seen the movie Spinal Tap? And they're like, huh? I'm like, okay, well, you have homework now. You have to go home, turn on your YouTube, type in Spinal Tap, and then watch that movie.
Yeah.
And then come talk to me. You will be quizzed.
Really the best part of that movie.
It's the most memorable line, I would say.
It's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You go, oh, it's so good. And then you go and you're like, it's really not good. But just the, you know, interaction that's fun. And that turning up to 11 is a funny point in that movie. Never been a big fan of the movie, though.
it's like you said, it's like one of those.
You got to be stoned.
Stop it.
Well, that's how it was for us. When I was 15, that was our thinking. Yeah, and so the music was good. It's interesting because I'm a big music fan, and you know, I'll take my favorite music and play.
What was the last concert you went and saw?
Pearl Jam.
Ooh.
Actually, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. It's not true. The last concert I went and saw was AJR. I have kids, and my kids are like, you know, Daddy, can we go to AJR? And I'm like, hell yeah, we can go to AJR. And so that was the last concert. The last concert that I think that I went to that I chose was Lady Gaga.
Ah.
Took my wife to that.
I did her first tour. She was the opener for New Kids on the Block.
She's amazing. Dude, she's one of the best, you know, for the amount of money we paid for the tickets, which wasn't really that bad. Probably one of the best shows I've ever seen.
I remember, like, she was the opener, and it was her, Natasha Bedingfield, and then New Kids. And then I just remember going out there, and, like, because, you know, openers, they're sort of, you never know what you're going to get.
Right.
But with Gaga at that time, she was just coming onto the scene. The crowd was, like, insane. It wasn't that it was large, but the people that were there were like, really into it.
Her animal.
And I remember like just look watching the show, and it was just her and two backup dancers. That was it. And they didn't have a band or anything. It was like recorded track, and she would just do this whole, you know, the song and dance, and it was just like, and I was just like, what the hell am I watching? Like, I didn't quite get it yet because it was just so new,
right?
And she was sort of reinventing that whole genre in a way. And then next thing you know, next year she's the headliner, and sure, you know, it was crazy. But she was always super sweet and kind, and you know, just a cool lady.
I'm a huge fan of Lady Gaga. Love Lady Gaga. She, you know, I didn't pay much attention early on when she started out because I thought she was kind of this more of a character, not as much of talent. And she played, you know, that was her recipe. You know, we'll knock them over, get their attention, and then once we get their attention, then we'll really reveal who she is, which is an amazing, talented musician, artist, singer, dancer, right? She does everything.
Yeah.
I remember seeing her on Howard Stern, and I was like, she did that, I forget the name of the song, but she just did a piano version of it. It was so beautiful. I remember Howard Stern was like, whoa, what was that? And I love the movie that she was in with
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, just so good. And so my wife and I are big fans, and I took her to see it. It was a great show. But I'm a big Pearl Jam guy.
Yeah.
You know, we do a Pearl Jam podcast.
That's
and
like my college years, you know, 10 is this one of the best albums of all time.
Yeah, I just read a great article that this, I forget his last name, Watts is his last name, but he's a producer. Pearl Jam just announced they're going to work on a new album with this guy. And Eddie, you know, they did a couple of shows. They did a show up in New Jersey, and then they did a few nights over in Dana Point in San Diego. And the opener was, I think, Kings of Leon. Well, Kings of Leon's mother passed. So Eddie pulled like a couple guitars for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the drummer for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
John Frusciante.
No, it was Klingenhoffer.
Klingenhoffer, okay, in between, yeah.
Yeah, so he was a guitarist. Chad, the drummer, this guy, something Watts, who played bass, and another guy. And then I read this article that they're going to use this guy, Watts, to be the producer for this new Pearl Jam album. And they interviewed him. He's like, you know, I grew up loving Pearl Jam. Me and my older brother, and, you know, I used to go see Pearl Jam and hold up signs that said, I want to play the solo to Alive. And then he played the solo to Alive at Dana Point when he came and joined the band because, you know, they had to fill in because Kings of Leon couldn't play. So it was awesome. A fun story. It's like, I think, a story that, you know, any person that loves rock and roll or any sort of music can relate to. Like, at some point, you're like, God, I'd love to be the guitarist in that band. And this guy's kind of living it. So that was a fun story. But, you know, I'm a big Pearl Jam guy. So, but, you know, I was lucky. I grew up in Albuquerque and just could see every show. Like, yeah. Judas Priest, Dio, Black
everybody
Sabbath,
coming
Metallica.
Through.
Yeah, everybody went through Albuquerque. Tickets were like $25.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Good food, though.
Mm.
So, man, so you, I appreciate you coming on.
That's it?
Well, we could talk more. I don't know. Do you? I don't know if you have something to do.
I don't know. Well, I do. It's Eddie Van Halen Day. I have to change my billboard. I have to do a couple things. And I have a, yeah, but no, it's been great. I feel, I don't know, there's just, we should do this again.
Dude, we can do, well, I didn't realize that you were so passionate about music. You know, we do this Discovery Music podcast where we'd love to have you.
Oh, yeah, what's that about?
We find new music.
Oh, awesome.
So we like did all of Firefly this week. We have the band Black Circle coming on, which is a Brazilian band that was actually a Pearl Jam tribute band. Lenny Prado can fucking sing him some Eddie Vedder, man. But they've actually released a new album, so they're coming on the podcast. We're going to zoom them in from Brazil.
Oh, sweet.
Teddy Beats was on last week. Next week, the week after that, we have a guy. His name is Matt Vanzetti. He's a rapper upstate Delaware. Great music. He's on Spotify. He's coming in studio. So
nice.
But usually we like to bring people in, bring some music that you're listening to, something new.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things is to learn about new music. Like, it's like a daily thing I do.
Yeah.
And like, it's so easy these days to find new music. Remember back in the day for us, like, we had to go, you had to go, you know, find a record store, go digging, ask questions, read trade magazines.
Build a relationship.
Yeah, you had to know somebody to get, like, the cool stuff.
Well, I mean, but you had to build a relationship with that band, right? You know, you're walking in, ding, hearing that bell, the smell, opening that record, the vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... We're just old fucking curmudgeon-y guys talking about how back in the day it was. But I, you know, I feel bad because, you know, with the 16-year-old, you know, he's like, this is my favorite band. And then the next week he's like, I don't like that band anymore. This is my favorite band. And I'm like, when we were kids, it was like Van Halen till we die, right?
Zeppelin. That's the one that really, like, well, Jimi Hendrix for me is my godfather. And then I got into Zeppelin and then sort of. It all just bloomed from there.
Such good music back then. Mm. So if someone's coming over to Taqueria for the first time, what would you suggest? What would be the order that's going to set them right for the whole day?
I would say get yourself a Baja Fish.
Baja Fish.
Get yourself a beef shorty, a little surf and turf back to back.
What's a beef shorty? Is that a taco?
Yeah, it's braised short rib.
I had it.
Ancho chilies. Delicious. And then we do a tomatillo arbol salsa, crema, pickled red onion, cilantro. It's probably the crowd number one favorite, like Alive of the Pearl Jam album. And then I would say get an order of carne fries, whatever flavor you're feeling.
So I would say bring a friend to share those.
You're full at this point.
You're full.
But whatever, save room for the churros.
I don't want to deter anybody from dropping some cash over at Taco Rio, but bring a friend and share a fry, right? Because
that's the way to do it.
It is overflowing with... freshness.
Yes.
The crema.
All of it. The salsas. The pico.
Yes.
The queso fresco.
There is no place for your fingers on those.
Well, we got forks.
Right. But I mean, I like how you talked about the taquito. We like to keep it a little in so you can place for your finger.
Oh, yeah.
You won't find that in the fries.
I mean, if you're really, if you're that guy or girl, I would say go burrito. And please, can I just put this out there as a public service statement? When you come to Taco Rio and you're eating, order a burrito, please do not open it up, the whole foil, and make it naked.
Oh.
So we work really hard to twist this thing.
Is there a shirt coming on this?
Dude, trust me, I've been working on it.
Okay.
Peel from the top, work your way down. You get every bite's perfect. You have total control of your experience. Your fingers will be fine. They won't get a single anything on there. You can put hot sauce on as you go. But please do not open it up and then look at it and it looks like crap at that point.
It's like and then
ask for a knife and fork. And then proceed to start sawing away.
Or don't open
it.
Up the burrito in general. Like, just don't open up the foil and don't open up the tortilla because it's
fine. It's ready to go.
There's a lot of muscles and work that goes into tucking and turning and rolling that burrito into this
cylinder of awesomeness.
Don't peel it open to see what's inside. Just start eating.
Yes,
fools. I love it. So is this? You know, I asked a little bit about it, but it is a plan to get a couple more of these trying to open.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I want to bring tacos to the people.
Happened to the food truck?
It's still around.
Still using it?
Yeah. We affectionately call her Black Betty. She's got her first gig this weekend, the Fire and Ice Festival down in Millville, I believe, and this year it's rock themed. So these people are going to be making ice sculptures into like rock stars or guitars or whatever the hell. I don't know what the hell.
That's awesome.
And we're going to be there with Smash Mouth Burger and Fat Vinny's. And we'll be vending from 3 to 8, I believe. And it's this Saturday. And I believe it's for a good cause. And it should be a lot of fun.
I've had him on. What's a Smash Mouth? What's his name? Bearded guy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Jamie,
thank you. But I just watched the whole thing about this the upcoming of the Smash Burger. Like, I guess it was a real trendy kind of thing. And I just never really realized that it was an actual thing. And
the technique.
I guess the Smash Burger is really a ball of meat that's smashed down so thin. Is the thinness a thing?
It's the thinness. So it creates the Maillard reaction. So that is the browning of the meat, and that is the part that when you're eating it, makes your body go, ooh, this is really good.
Color like flavor.
Yeah, it's like kind of like caramelization, but it's different. The Maillard reaction, a chef-y term. But that's the way to, if you do that on both sides, you're getting the maximum amount of brown deliciousness.
Well, it's almost taking a nice thick burger and putting a nice browned cooked side in the center of that.
Yeah.
It's like two burgers, and then but you definitely need a fork and knife.
No.
Stop it.
Come on.
Stop it. I had one of those at Shellville. Pull out my Santa suit. So you'll come back.
Yeah, man, of course. You're awesome.
Dude, no, I love it. I love it. And, you know, Ashley, you know, she's great. And I appreciate
Shout out, her. Ashley. She's the bomb.
Yeah, she'll be on next week. I love that. If I ever feel down, I call Ashley and get inspired.
Yeah,
she is,
for sure.
She's a hustler. And you're a hustler. And and thank you. And I'll thank you for the town. Thank you for bringing tacos finally to Rehoboth.
You're welcome.
My
pleasure.
We appreciate it. And we'll get you back. And, you know, you got anything going on, please don't hesitate. Come and hang out and come do the Discovery Music Podcast.
For sure. Yeah, we got a full calendar of your events, and I would love to come back and share that with you.
The door, I'll give you a key. How's that? That's how open it is for you. All right, Billy. Thank you so much, Billy from Taco Rio. What's your website?
TacoRio.com.
What's your Insta?
Taco Rio. Follow us on Instagram. We're super silly and weird, and it's kind of like the embodiment of everything Taco Rio.
Well, dude, and that's it's not silly. It's sort of silly, but it's really entertaining, right? Before I do anything, I go through my Instagram in the morning, and I get entertained by silly people. But you know what? It's people that show up every day. There's this we create an expectation of what we see on TV, an expectation of what we have at work, an expectation of our daily stuff, and we sort of have an expectation of what we want on our Instagram. And we've been doing this long enough. Like, if you're not you, but a person isn't really, I get sick of people that put the same picture up and ask to have it liked more than once, which I will do. But I love it when a guy like you gets up, has thought, does creative stuff on the signboard, because the signboard's kind of a thing of the past almost now.
Yeah.
You kind of brought the signboard back, doing a lot of work, putting up clever thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate it. It's a great way to start my day.
I love hearing that, man. Thanks. That means a lot.
No, I had a lot of respect from you in the very beginning, and to see you come and sit here and watch you through the whole journey and basically have not lost it or blown it up yet. Not yet. But it's like, it's a lot of pressure, man. And I my hat's off to you. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate you. So thank you.
Cool, man.
Catch you next time.
All right.
All right, Billy.
Peace.
Peace.